APCA LP, Petaluma, California. Hosting, as always, with Peter Thompson and Jason Lee.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Yes, we always like Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good day. Beautiful day out.
Second favorite F word.
what was the
F word? Mine too.
That's
mine.
Yeah,
I like that. That's my second favorite.
Here we go again.
It's Friday.
Okay. All right. And what do we got going this week? What is, Jason, you were gone last week. Where were you?
I was gone. I was in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Those of you who don't know where Fort Wayne, Indiana is, you're not alone. A lot of people don't know where it is. It's in Indiana, obviously. It's about a 2 to 3 hour drive from Chicago. And about 2 hours plus from Indianapolis, and yeah, it's kind of rural, it's kind of out of the way, but it happens to be where a very large town is, okay, Sweetwater.
So it was worth.
So yeah, it was. It's called Beer Fest. It's an annual trade show, and it's kind of cool. They had lots of artists there playing. Like Steve Vai was actually. I didn't get to see him because I was manning a booth the whole time. Showing cutting-edge audio software based on artificial intelligence and a lot of cool stuff for audio processing. So, yeah, that was my little getaway.
I think we should interview Jason one of these days. Yeah. Find out, what does he really do?
And there were no tornadoes, which I was thankful about, and actually the weather was quite good. We've had several years where we were out in tents, you know, with all these other pro audio companies, and very often the tents get flooded. So you have all this electronic gear, everyone's scrambling to get off of the ground so no one gets electrocuted, and obviously that can have it dampening on the turnout.
I think that's what happened when we went to Santa Rosa, remember?
Yes, that happened, that was very reminiscent of this kind of experience.
Right. As we're walking
very
around,
similar
it's flooding, and we're looking at these electrical cords
going, walking over.
Why are we even walking in water with electrical outlets that are now underwater, and we're staying?
So fortunately, that didn't happen. And fortunately, I was kept in my tent most of the time because otherwise I probably would have been spending more money than I was making. Because all the gear there, if you're into music and audio gear, it's like being a kid in a candy store. And there I was, the last hour of the show, leaving my booth. And yes, I acquired a couple of goodies that are now being shipped to me. I think they're going to arrive today. A couple microphones and an interesting device that goes on the back of an acoustic guitar and then allows you to run effects from your acoustic guitar that come out of the sound hole of the guitar. Interesting product that I've been eyeing for about a year. So had I had longer out of my cage, I'd probably be much poorer as a result. So anyway, that was a...
Of course things can happen.
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, it's all good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... You can get an SM57 microphone for $57 at this event. It happens once a year. Totally crazy.
And how much are they normally? Or how much have they been in the past?
Close to double that. You can get them for about 80 or so.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a loss leader gift they do every year. Anyway, that's where I was. Glad to be back.
I miss you.
It's kind of like going to the Oscars. They give you these big baskets of goodies. And all kinds of, you know, great goodies, wines, facial stuff. And they use, you know, if you're a big wig there, you get these great baskets. And if you know people that get Oscars, you can actually participate in drinking some of their beautiful wines that are in the baskets, which we've had the lucky of doing that before.
Yeah. Well, as a result of your absence, I got to talk a lot last week.
Yes, I just posted the archive, so that's up there.
Did you listen to it?
You know what? I started to. I haven't listened to the whole thing. In fact, I need to because I wasn't
It was a good show.
I wasn't quite sure what to label it, so I labeled the guest, but I hadn't gone through the content yet, so it's there as an archive, but I didn't add a description.
Healthy nutrition.
It was really interesting. I'd like to have her back on again so we can talk about nutrition and cancer and go a little bit more depth, but she was pretty informative.
For the listeners, you can always go to insidepetaluma.com, and you can go to the archives, and that's exactly what we're referring to is the last show. I think it's episode 44 now.
Wow.
And I actually took a great deal of time to reorder all of the shows that I had posted because I started doing this. I was going, top to bottom. And so you had to scroll all the way to the bottom of the page in order to get the most recent show. I flipped that all around now.
Okay.
So, yeah, it took a while to do it.
Sweet.
But, anyway.
All right.
So, yeah.
All right. So, Janice, you were telling us a story before we went on air about SMART and an episode that you experienced.
Well, actually, there's been two deaths in Rohnert Park yesterday and today of people. We don't know if they're suicides or not, which is possible, but two people were hit and killed. And maybe about 4 weeks ago, I was on Madison Street, where
in Petaluma,
where Clover Stornetta, the factory is.
Meets Lakeville, right.
Exactly. And so I took a right onto Lakeville, and there's like this small zone before you hit the rail tracks. And so I was in that zone, and I noticed all of a sudden the flashing lights facing me, but on the opposite side, so the southbound lane.
And you were going north.
And I was going north, was flashing. And so I stopped, and I realized, where the heck is the arm? I couldn't find where my arm was. I couldn't see the flashing light.
The railroad crossing arm.
I know where my arm is.
I know.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens.
Here's my right. And so I'm looking for the rail arm. Can't find it. And there's no lights in my lane that are flashing, only on the opposite side of the street. And so the next thing I realize, there must be a train coming. There's got to be a rail arm somewhere. Well, it was on the top of my car. So I'm looking to the right, which is a blind turn, so I couldn't see if a train was going south.
Oh.
And then I looked to the left, and there was a train that was close to Washington Street. And so I knew that I had enough time to get over the railroad tracks, which I did, and then I immediately called the SMART.
Yeah.
But it's just a really short, dangerous little turn there. And so I'm going to pursue it because my insurance company is telling me it was my fault, and I'm saying it was not my fault, and I think the amount of problems that SMART is having with deaths hopefully will influence my insurance company to see up my way, but it was really frightening, actually, not knowing. I was very close to the rail track, my car. I didn't know where the train was. You had a blind spot, and I happened to support the horns, and I know a lot of people don't support the horns, but I'm thinking if I heard a horn, I would have at least felt a little bit safer. So I think SMART has some problems with their
crossings. Well, the thing is, the engineers are able to use the horns if they see an obstruction on the track. So if they saw you.
But if they were coming south, they would not have seen me because it was a blind turn. That was the problem.
Yeah, it is a blind corner.
Yeah. So that's my deal with SMART. And I think
what happened to your car? I mean, I'm glad
I just
had
like a little boo-boo on my car. A minor boo-boo, but it was more
a boo-boo.
Yes. It got a little scratched.
So it says, apparently
and I don't like scratches on my car, and I do everything to park way away from other cars so I don't get a scratch. So, yeah.
So it looks like what it's saying is, this is in the paper, that the one on Thursday where a woman died, it says she was trying to outrun a commuter train.
She was at the track and decided that she thought she could get across and couldn't, apparently.
Yeah. Wow.
And, we don't know what happened to today.
Yeah. No, today we don't know. It's the person was seen walking under the gate crossing arm. So people think that they can just squeak by or something. You can't. It's not worth the risk.
Well,
it doesn't pay to be in a hurry.
As we've seen with a lot of the SMART crossings, cities did not widen those in their general plans.
Yeah.
And so when SMART came around and, made, quote, improvements to existing crossings, they didn't make any improvements. They just might have put new mechanisms in.
Yeah.
And so we really have a lot of areas that are dangerous in our community.
Yeah.
And now we know in Santa Rosa there's problems, Pengrove there's problems, Rohnert Park. And it would be great if Smart would sit down, you know, with our supervisor, who's one of the reps, would sit down and actually have a conversation about this, because this is a safety issue, and it's not going away.
Mm-mm.
And I think we need to address it, because it was pretty scary being where I was for my little incident.
Mm-hmm.
I was so close. My car was so close to the rail tracks. I was trying to measure, did I have enough room, depending on how wide the train would have been.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me, it was fine, but for these other people, it's not.
Yeah. What were the circumstances around the other death, the second death?
Let's see. So on Thursday's crash, Jimmy Joy Qualls, 30, of LaGrange, walked under the gate crossing arm on Golf Course Drive near Commerce Boulevard, and then was hit by northbound Sonoma Marin Area Transit train about 8 a.m.
Today, I read it this morning. Hang on a second.
Person was struck by the train south on the commuter rail. This was for today at 7:27 a.m. On your Golf Course Drive.
And there, actually, the person was, it was about 75 feet. They went flying. And they did find some earbuds, but they're not sure if it was that person's earbuds or not.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, still being investigated.
Body
so
was thrown in
really
the bushes on the west side
yeah.
of the tracks, and a bicycle wheel could be seen leaning against a nearby fence.
Yeah.
So even
no. He was on
They're
a bike.
Still
and,
investigating.
Yeah,
it
so we really don't. We don't really know anything to say anything except that somebody else was killed 2 days in a row.
Well, nonetheless, it's very sad.
Yeah. So, but I think the trade is it's great. I am looking for more ridership, and we just need to make it a little bit safer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, in that vein, another safety issue: fireworks.
Yeah. They're loud. And they cause fires.
You know.
We don't need them.
And I have to board my dogs. And I have to tell you, every year I board my dogs.
Yeah.
You can't board on the 4th, so you have to board the day before.
Yeah.
And you can't pick them up after the fireworks on the 4th, so you got to pay for another day. And it costs me close to $500 every year to board my dogs to protect them from this noise.
And probably most of the noise is coming from illegal ones.
Yes.
Because I think the, quote, safe and sane ones don't actually have explosions. Although those piccolo
peaks
and
the whistling is really loud, and
yeah,
that really hurts dogs' ears.
Yeah. Well, I guess one thing that could help in terms of policing is that if there were no fireworks allowed at all, it would make it easier for officers to discern whether illegal ones are being used or not, because I know that's sometimes an area of confusion for the officers. So if they're completely banned, even safe and, quote, safe and sane ones, which aren't really that safe, they still cause fires. And,
well, plus, you know, a lot of these teenagers improvise the safe and sane fireworks by adding water bottles with gasoline in them.
Oh, yeah, I did that. Ping pong balls full of gasoline.
Well, I didn't do that, but I just want to say that it's not just teenagers because...
Well, adults, too.
I mean, adults are participating in this.
Yeah.
It's pretty... it's time for a change, and I'm hoping that the city council takes up this quickly and makes a decision, and let's not play games anymore and just ban them.
Well, they're not good for the environment either.
No,
and let's talk fire. What's happening here?
Yeah.
You know, our state is on fire
a
good portion of the summer, and we don't need to add to it by lighting
things. Well, I think
on
there's
fire.
Only 2 cities in the 9 cities in Sonoma County that we still sell fireworks, and so the majority of them got the message. And Petaluma has not, and I'm not sure who the second one is.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I guess the argument for doing it is all the money they raise
for the nonprofits,
but there's got to be other ways.
Well, you know what? We're sitting right here in the studios of a nonprofit, and we don't sell fireworks. So,
no.
There's
but imagine if
money.
We did.
No, we're not going.
Yeah, don't think we're going to go there.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is Three Twins is moving their manufacturing.
Yeah.
Three Twins Ice Cream is doing their manufacturing in Wisconsin. Their headquarters will still be in Petaluma.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really unfortunate because, you know, we've always talked about being a city that why we need to have commerce up our river because we want to, you know, move goods and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But all these manufacturing facilities are leaving except the ones that are, like Clover's not going to be leaving. Strauss has actually moved to Rohnert Park.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be leaving. But these other manufacturers leave because they don't have a good hold as far as the costs.
Yeah.
The costs are so much higher here. And that's not good for our community.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, it's not good for the dredging of the river because we don't have enough tonnage going up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this is why it's really important to have an industrial part of a community. And that's going away.
Yeah.
And where Pomeroy was, which was an industrial part of the river, that 40 acres has now been sold and it's going to be developed. You know, so we're going to have more and more development on the river, which is a good thing. But the manufacturing's going away, and that's a negative.
Well, I remember there was some controversy because some of the noise that it was creating for some of the people
that
didn't expect that much noise.
I think Tiffany Renee was one of the ones
there
who was
complaining. There was one of our council members, yeah.
She lived near the river.
And they went to quite a bit of effort to try to dampen that noise. I remember they put some housing, they housed it somehow so that it was not as noisy. They brought the decibel level down. But I guess in the article, there's the hope that some other similar type of manufacturer would move in.
We're hoping that, but the dollar is the driving force.
Yeah.
And if they're leaving because the cost is too high, I don't think you're going to find another manufacturer that's going to go ahead and come in and take their place.
Well, it depends on what they're doing. I mean, because there's lots of companies that are staying. There's companies that are going. It just depends.
I just like manufacturing more so.
Yeah, I mean, Strauss is able to do it. And Tamales Bay Foods, they haven't left. Obviously, we have Enphase here. So there's a lot of manufacturing they're doing okay here. But for their model, their business model, and the cost that he wanted, I mean, he doesn't want to go over $5 for his ice cream, and he wants the very best ingredients.
Right.
And that's tough. And
right.
It's a very competitive market. And so I guess that'll be more affordable in Wisconsin.
Right. And, you know, people have to realize that when you build in an industrial area and you start having mixed use, noise comes with mixed use. And so you can't just all of a sudden move in there and say, hey, we want all these businesses gone because they're part of the fabric of the community, and part of the fabric of our community is having a mixed use also.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we're talking about business, which kind of leads us into our guest today.
Absolutely.
So why don't we introduce him? We have with us Dave Brandon Trammell. Welcome, Brandon.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah. And I have a bio here, and I feel like I don't really need to read it, but I'd just like to ask you, why don't you tell us something about yourself? You live here in Petaluma.
I do.
How long?
Yeah, we moved to Petaluma in 2016.
Okay. Who's we?
My wife and I. My wife, Lindsay.
Nice.
Yeah, and at that time, we had our first daughter, Bryn, who's now 6 and a half, and we have been joined since then by our second daughter, Charlotte, who's turning 3, actually, on Monday.
Sweet names.
Yeah.
Okay. You're the founder of Purpose Financial Insurance Services here in Petaluma.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep. So you have a business here.
I do.
Nice.
I do, yeah.
Okay. And you're the North Bay Chair of the Conscious Capitalism Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little about that.
Yeah, I was asked to join the board of that organization. Conscious Capitalism is a nonprofit organization, a movement of business people that seek to use business as a force for good in the world to elevate humanity, as their mission statement puts it. Really looking at business in a different way, versus an extractionary model that we've grown accustomed to, create as much profit as you possibly can for ownership and shareholders, with a model that serves us as a species, as communities, as people, in a much better way, really providing a source of meaning in business, contribution, and a place to work that really gives you an opportunity to contribute and do something good in the world. So it's more of a triple bottom line orientation to business, looking at the effect on people, the effect on profit, and also on the planet.
Okay.
That's great. You know, both you and Jason are business people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's... you know, sometimes, you know, you hear negative things about businesses not contributing, but I want to say that after meeting you, I'm very impressed with, you know, our conversation that we've had and with Jason, and what it really takes to build a community is having a really strong business community, and you're jumping in with the Petaluma Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that and the group that you're
yeah,
together.
Super exciting project. I mean, for me, this is what ignites me, is being able to collaborate with existing business infrastructures, associations, and communities to level up our game, to do better, not just for ourselves, but for our community, for our neighbors, for our fellows, for our planet. And this is a really exciting project that we have started. What is it called? The Conscious Business Committee. So this is a committee.
This is through the Petaluma Chamber.
Petaluma Chamber, yep. And so a very progressive perspective on the traditional model of business, and understanding that there's a future conversation that is not being had at a lot of levels in the existing business community, especially in chambers of commerce, unfortunately. Yep. Yep. And so to bring this conversation to the business community in a forum that they're used to receiving and consuming information and content is really helpful to move forward the conversation. I think that the part that excites me the most is that this effort I see as really about removing the barriers that currently we have created between the existing business community and the conscious business community. Those two have been sort of siloed camps, if you will, not sitting down at tables and having conversations together. Really sort of, this is our way, we do it, and this is our way, we do it. So this conversation, this committee, this effort is really about bringing information to people that have done business in the way that they've done it for however many years, to really understand that there are ways for us to not only be wildly profitable, but also to create a culture within our company where people can show up, bring their whole self, contribute, and bring meaning not only to their life, but to really get back to the basics of the system of capitalism, which is a voluntary exchange of value. I give you money because I believe your product has value, right? And or service, right? So the beauty about this is that we get to bring people who have been historically in separate camps to a meaningful conversation together to start having a hard conversation. If we keep doing business the way we've been doing it, extractionary, zero-sum, and trade-off orientation, then we'll keep getting what we've got, and it's going to get worse. But if we're ready to really dig in and say, why does it matter to do business differently that's more sustainable, that mm-hmm. considers the people that are involved with that business and really putting humanity back in business, then we have a real opportunity to not only feel better, but to do better. Mm-hmm. I mean, the number of the amount of data that can be shown for the much higher profitability of a business that focuses on the sort of conscious orientation to business is, I mean, far and away. A conscious business outperforms quote-unquote unconscious business 8-1. That's staggering. And that's 30 years of data, right, that is actually documenting, showing when people are engaged, when you have a culturally diverse and ethnically diverse and orientationally diverse workforce, you have more innovative ideas coming to the table. You have an opportunity to elevate those people into just contributing their highest and best. And that shows in product, that shows in profitability, that shows in employee engagement, that shows in community engagement. So there's more to come on this committee and what we're really up to and how all of this conversation is going to show up. But we're cooking some really cool stuff.
Nice. How many members are on the committee?
There are currently 8 of us, including me. Uh-huh. And so, you know, and there's a diversity of gender, certainly. There is a majority of women on the committee. But we really are trying to deepen and broaden that as well to get culturally diverse, which we haven't done yet. But I am really forming relationships and creating that invitation for Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Young Professionals Networks and the other business organizations that are really focused on diversity and including them in this conversation.
It sounds great.
Yeah, no, it does sound great. And, I mean, you know, just to be honest, I mean, there's negativity toward Chamber of Commerce's. You know, we're talking about nationwide, not just locally.
Right.
And so you're bringing something forward. And how do we accomplish that in the bigger picture of the Chamber of Commerce? Or is there a time to make a separation?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure how it looks for the long term, but what you're doing, I appreciate. I appreciate you're a millennium, you know, which is great, getting younger people involved. And it's kind of like the old guard needs to start stepping back. And I appreciate this, and I think this is a great way to go. And Jason is a business person. I'm anxious to hear what you have here.
I was just going to say, I mean, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, unfortunately, has not always been the most environmentally friendly. You know, they did oppose quite a few efforts to reduce greenhouse gases.
Are you talking nationally or
I'm
locally?
Talking about the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, okay.
So one thing in terms of perception is people understanding that a local Chamber of Commerce is not necessarily in lockstep with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Correct.
So that's
especially
important.
Petaluma's.
Yeah, that's an important distinction. However, I will say at Petaluma, our Chamber of Commerce historically has also been a bit conservative and slow to respond to environmental protection. In fact, I remember they wrote a letter to the Board of Supervisors basically asking them to ignore the concerns of our city council in opposing the Dutra asphalt plant. So they were very much in favor of that project. And I never heard a retraction from the Chamber of Commerce on that. I would love to see that, because if something new is happening there and there's a change of leadership and a change of direction and ideals, that would be good to know. It would be quite refreshing, because I know there were several people that actually dropped their memberships to the Chamber over that episode.
And let me be clear, at this time, there's no change in the person who is in leadership.
Yeah.
But what I have seen and what I have experienced is that there is an awakening of understanding that there is a new conversation that's happening. Not a new conversation, right? But that conversation is now at a level where more people are hearing it, more people are listening to it. You know, the real dilemma, I think, is that the separation, the barriers that we create because conversations are difficult and we don't align on value or on perspective, right, of something happening, that's where the meaning and the growth and the real development happens. People with opposing views sitting down at a table together, understanding that their views are different, but that there's progress that must be made. And without having that meaningful conversation, we can't make that
progress. The big controversy wasn't simply that the director or some people at the Chamber of Commerce had that opinion that differed from the members. But the fact is that they went on record as being supportive of this project, and a lot of chamber members felt that their voices were ignored. So there are a lot of members of the Chamber of Commerce that did not appreciate that position at all, and they were wondering why the chamber was taking such a position on their behalf.
But I think that's been following the chamber for quite a few years, and people were dropping off as members, and that's why meeting Brandon and having the conversation we met and had a conversation and having him on today, it's really, for me, seeing an elevation of what our existing chamber.
Sure.
And, you know, and I'm looking a few years down the line and I'm looking for it even to be, you know, more elevated, getting a lot more younger business people involved that care about the environment. Yeah. Really look at what the chamber is supporting and isn't supporting, and just becoming a more progressive chamber, because that's what our community wants, mm-hmm. and you hate just to throw something out. You really rather work with it because it's, you know, we always hear about the Green Chamber. Well, it's not that easy just to go ahead and say we're going to be a Green Chamber moving forward in that direction.
There is one, and of course it developed in response to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, right. Who has not been very environmentally friendly. But I guess the point really is if it's reforming, if it's changing, if it's becoming more modern and more environmentally sensitive, that's a good thing. I'd like to hear more of that. In fact, I'd like to hear an official position on the Chamber of Commerce that says we were wrong. We shouldn't have sent that letter supporting the Dutra asphalt plant. That's a bad idea.
I have to believe that letter was a directive from the board of directors,
sure.
and not the opinion of the executive.
No,
director.
That is absolutely correct. That's the direction.
I'm not naming names. Exactly. I'm just saying, as an organization, that went out. It was a real slap in the face to our progressive council, but it wasn't the only issue. Yeah. I mean, the chamber had been backing very conservative candidates that were pushing very automobile-oriented types of developments. That have now resulted in more traffic. I think there's some reform that needs to happen. I'm glad if that's happening.
Yeah.
I think what the real value proposition here is that those B Corp businesses, right, those mm-hmm. conscious businesses that are here in town, and look, Three Twins is one of those, right?
Yeah.
And so those businesses want to be a part of making the business community better.
Yeah.
They do that oftentimes by having a more beneficial business model that they're conscious about their governance structure, their community engagement, their employee wellness programs and overall well-being. And not to mention, right, the most important thing of a business, which is the customers, right?
Yeah.
Those businesses who have disengaged from the business conversation at the chamber level, right, because they didn't feel a value add to them being a member, are hearing me having these conversations. Yeah. I'm having these conversations with them, and that creates excitement for them, that there's an opportunity for conscious businesses to come to the table and really contribute to, hey, this conversation needs to change.
Yeah.
We need to develop and adapt.
We had a show where we talked about the minimum wage. I'm curious, has mm-hmm. our local Chamber of Commerce taken a position on raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour?
I do not represent the chamber, and so I'm not here to purport the positions or the policies or the candidates that they've backed or the letters that they've written.
Yeah.
I am simply and purely directing this committee, helping this committee to create something new, exciting, and forward-thinking.
But you helped create this. You created this committee or helped create it.
I was asked by Onita Pellegrini to create a committee, and I emphatically and instantaneously said yes.
Yeah.
For the listeners, Onita Pellegrini is the executive director for the Chamber of Commerce here in Petaluma.
I just want to make a comment, follow up with Jason, whether it's the Chamber of Commerce or anything.
Yeah.
It seems like when politics in Petaluma now, it's not just letters that you're sending, but it's the city council wants to see X amount of people in the chambers before they're going to really be swayed to support a project.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't think that is the way our city council should be making decisions.
Mm.
They need to look at the information. If one person has solid information, that one person should be heard.
Sure.
Not a huge group of people that come in. And that's disturbing because it goes back to the $15, the minimum wage.
Oh.
They're trying to get a lot of people there because I heard that the city council, in order for them to support this, they want to see that chamber filled.
Yeah.
Well, we should not have to fill a chamber to look at the value of the $15, we should look at what the information is.
Sure.
And so I'd like to see that change. And, you know, we have more progressives on the city council. That's not progressive to me.
And I'd like to see it.
That's regressive.
I'd like to see what you're talking about in the chamber in driving a more a sustainable model that, is certainly focused on the benefits of employees and the fact that it is very difficult to live in Petaluma. And so a lot of council members are on record with supporting an increase in the minimum wage. And I just was curious, given what it seems that you're trying to do, mm-hmm. that maybe you've taken a position on it or not. And maybe there hasn't been a position. Maybe there doesn't intend to be a position. But I know that some chambers have opposed it. So that's why I was asking.
Yeah. No, and I mean, it's a fair question. And this is a part of the conversation, right? We have to be able to provide a meaningful source of income, a living wage,
yeah.
right, for people
yeah.
so that they can...
Which probably $15 isn't a living wage.
No, certainly not. It's a little or yeah. even most of yeah. Sonoma County, but it's progress,
yeah.
right? Look, the B Corp position, mm-hmm. right, B Lab as the nonprofit organization yeah. behind a B Corp certification. If you don't know about B Corps... You know, go to bcorporation.org,
yeah.
check it out.
Yeah.
You don't know about conscious capitalism, go to consciouscapitalism.org and check it out and understand what these principles are.
I saw the billboard. Clover is apparently a
yes,
B Corp.
They are. They are. And I took a picture of that billboard and I yeah. posted it on my social media with some high hands
yeah.
because what really needs to happen is businesses that are conducting themselves this way from a social and environmental sustainability mm-hmm. perspective need to be highlighted. They mm-hmm. need to be celebrated. They need to be held up as a shining example, whether they're perfect or not. Because,
sure.
look, Clover's not perfect. No business is perfectly conscious. They are enlightened and at and above, right, this sort of bar that we've set, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not about perfection. It's about progress
right.
because we can all do better.
Yeah.
We can do better. And so I applaud Marcus Benedetti and the entire Clover team, the Benedetti uh-huh. family, and all of their employees at Clover for their model. They really are a shining example of how to live with the product and the farmer, right? And so we need more examples of businesses that are doing it this way and showing crazy engagement, crazy profit, and a positive impact,
mm-hmm.
not only on their people, but on the world and the communities around them. That oh. is where it's at.
As past leader of a labor union, a very large labor union, I'm ecstatic to hear that you're using terms like employee wellness and mm. work-life balance mm-hmm. and seeing that companies recognize the value in implementing these types yep. of programs
yep.
into how they treat their employees. That
right.
that makes me happy.
I mean, you really the core principle, the core tenet mm-hmm. of conscious business is having a purpose above profit.
Right.
Yes, businesses have to produce profit or they can't continue to function, right? But the perspective is more around, like, I'll use the analogy of, like, red blood cells for my body,
mm-hmm.
right? I need those red blood cells to live. If my body doesn't produce red blood cells, I can't continue to live.
Right.
But I don't wake up in the morning, I get to make red blood cells today. That's not
right.
my purpose in life. But I need that, right? And profit is the same for a business. It is the red blood cell of a business.
Yeah.
It should be viewed as the means to work their purpose and contribute to society
well,
versus
how,
its
how
ultimate
do you work
bottom
with
line.
The downtown association with this? Are there members of that are members of the downtown association who are members of the Chamber of Commerce part of your group?
Not yet.
Not yet. I think
but
it's
that is
direction.
It is. Look, this conversation has to be heard before people can go, hey, wait, I want to know more about that. I want to be a part of
so
that.
So how long
right?
have you been doing this, actually?
As a committee, we've been meeting for about 3 months now.
Oh, so this is the baby.
Super, super
step.
Brand
wow.
new.
I
and we are. I'm going to do a shameless plug because I feel called to do that. But coming later this year, we're going to open up a program for the business people in Petaluma, for the businesses and business people. That's all I'm going to say at this point because there's a lot more work to be done. But it is going to be refreshing. It is going to be elevating. It is going to be around how do we do better for each other so that we can all do better.
Mm-hmm.
Supporting each other and doing better, that interdependence is the next level of human connection.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that if we don't do it together, we can't do it the best, period.
Yeah.
I have to have support. I have to have meaningful, supportive relationships and people around me if I'm going to do the best that I can, because I'm just not good at everything. I'm just not. Nobody is.
It takes
right?
a lot of people to pull it together.
It does. It takes a village, is an adage that it could not be. There is no other truism like that in life. Mm-hmm. It takes a village. So that's what this is about.
Very interesting. So the way that we met was we were at the Mentor Me bocce ball tournament.
Oh, fun. Oh,
so
fun.
We were playing against each other.
Yeah.
And so this has been a few months already.
We
did not win.
We did not win. I'm just going to be just very open and honest about the fact that we stunk it up out there. But there was a lot of fun. It was for a great cause.
It's
so.
Just yeah. fun. We're talking about old great. Adages. It's not whether you win or lose. It's how you play the game.
That's right.
I wish our president could take
well,
that.
Well, isn't that the truth? No, it was a lot of fun, and so it's really great to meet you because,
yes.
you know, we finally connected.
Yes.
And I think this is,
yeah,
I mean, this is really great, I think, for our community. Mm. I know I'm going to be watching to see what happens with this new group at the Chamber mm. and looking for some really positive community engagement or business
yes.
engagement.
Yes. So I know you're not yeah. here to speak on policy matters, you know, about the Chamber and what sure. positions they might take, but just on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on dispensaries in Petaluma?
Because every week we
got a matchbook in your hand. That was dirty.
It's legal.
And we have wine places. We have beer places.
Yep.
Well, but, to be fair, though, we should talk about Cattati, and they're bringing about $350,000 worth into the coffer.
It was, yeah.
They $400,000, let's just say that.
Yeah.
And a lot of that business comes from Petaluma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's legal. The city's always looking for more money.
Yeah.
And
we're missing the boat.
We're missing the boat, and we've been on this for quite a while.
Yeah.
And it seems, and Jason brings it up every week.
It would be a way to make the Chamber of Commerce a little more green.
You want a green chamber
to take that session?
That's a good first step.
We're not asking
And think about the number of pot holes we could fill with the sales of pot.
Now, look, I think this is one of those conversations that I'm talking about, right?
Sure.
The opposing sides, right? The quote-unquote opposing sides who are just both human beings who want what's best, right? For their community, for the people
what
around
they think
them.
Is best.
Right, what they think is best. Can meet in the middle and have
how many
more
of them drink?
Meeting conversation. See,
I just want to
this
know.
Is right now, you know, we're going to dial the clock back to, you know, the 40s and 50s if we really get into why the stigma around it. Right, but ultimately, this is a division of commerce in our country now. Certainly, specifically in our
hey,
state.
Even John Boehner is supporting it.
Yeah, because he's on a board, and
there's
quite a few Republicans actually on the big boards.
It's a big bag to unpack, I think. in a 2-minute conversation.
I was just asking if you personally had an opinion about it. You don't have to tell me.
No, I think that there is value in considering and stepping away from our fear around what happens when we start a certain business.
Yeah.
And so, look, I don't know very many stories, if any, of somebody who, you know, bought an ounce of pot, smoked it all to themselves, and then went on a murderous rampage.
No, it never happened.
So, you know, these
except
things,
last night I did that.
Well, I haven't hit the paper yet. Right? So, you know.
The rampage was my refrigerator.
Well, right. That's an ice cream murderous rampage is very different. Very different. But, you know, there's value in it.
Sure.
There's value in it. We've got to talk through it without, you know, digging our heels in the sand and just say, hey, there are benefits to this product, and there are downsides to it as well. But let's just have meaningful conversation around how we build that into.
So have you ever tried it?
I didn't inhale.
Oh,
I didn't.
That's a
19. I didn't think we had candidates
running. I was a good narrative, I guess.
You were a kid when that was said.
I was.
Still a kid.
I was really yes, he is. Maybe the same age as my oldest daughter.
You know, I was in college once.
Anyway,
we're
looking at revenue sources.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's a meaningful source of revenue. That's been proven.
No.
Right? That's been proven. So
what
that's not
the,
a good idea.
Who's running for president from Colorado? He really boosts their economy and saying that their economy is...
Yeah, was that Hickenlooper?
Hickenlooper. And that, you know, their economy is like the largest in the... The U.S., where I thought California, I guess California is worldwide.
Yeah.
It's the sixth largest economy. So he was just talking about Colorado and what they bring.
Yeah, that was weird that he said that, that they were the biggest economy. And I don't
right, but it's actually, we're world economy. He was just talking U.S. economy.
But that's
is what he must have said.
That still can't be true.
Well, that's why I
maybe because he was smoking too much.
Something wasn't right about it, but we did hear it.
Wow, Jason, you're on a roll.
So, I mean, speaking of the debates, both nights were really interesting. Mm.
Those were.
And they were interesting, and I'll tell you, I came away last night really liking Kamala Harris a lot. And I thought that she had a real command of the stage, and I felt like she could really take Trump on, you know, one-on-one. And
well, experience as a prosecutor can be very helpful in that regard.
Yeah.
I think it's early to see what happens. I think I think she might also get some backlash from some of that against Biden. We'll see. It's an interesting race. I saw a lot of great candidates. I mean, I was impressed honestly, any one of them, I think, would be.
There were a lot of good candidates on both.
But we got off on a tangent.
Yes, we did. We went to Colorado, and now we're here.
Kamala. So we're back to Petaluma and the Chamber of Commerce and your efforts.
No, what I'm so proud of is that the Petaluma Area Chamber of Commerce not only is willing to take a chance on an effort like this, holding space for a conversation like this, but actually is championing it.
Yeah.
I was asked to start this committee, right? Because there were conversations that I was holding with, in the office of the Chamber of Commerce, and it was overheard. And she said, hey, what about this?
So are there any specific things you can talk about in terms of what you're maybe encouraging businesses to do to become more sustainable? Are there topics specifically about, you know, maybe using less plastics containers, for example, for restaurants? Are there policy matters concerning, obviously, we have a plastic ban, a regulation here in Petaluma. I don't recall what the position of the chamber was at that time, but are there some meaningful, specific things that you're taking in that regard with sustainability?
What I see as the purpose of this arm of the chamber or this committee is really around educating people on what it even means to be more conscious in business.
Okay.
Because generally speaking, if you're not a B Corp or you're not in the, you know, in the circles with conscious capitalism companies, then you may not even know what a B Corp is.
Mm-hmm.
You may not even understand what conscious capitalism stands for or what its tenets are.
So let's address that. Yeah. What do you have to be a B Corp?
So B Lab created something that is called the B Impact Assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a free.
It's a letter B. It's not the...
B, correct, which is short for benefit.
Okay.
Okay? A benefit, it's Benefit Corporation.
Okay.
Not to be confused with a certified B Corp. Those are two distinctly different things.
Okay.
A benefit corporation is an actual corporate structure, a legal entity, like a C Corp or an S Corp. LLC. A certified B Corp doesn't necessarily have to be a benefit corporation.
Mm-hmm.
They could be any of the other business structures, even a sole proprietorship.
And what's a benefit corporation?
So the benefit corporation is just like your C Corp, you know, your corporate resolution, right, is a beneficial resolution. And that has legal language in it that builds in sustainability, contribution back into the community, so that when that business is sold, right, that those bylaws, if you will, live on to the new owner.
So is there a percentage of their profits that they have to give back to the community in order to be considered a B Corp?
Going through that B Impact Assessment, there are certain thresholds and there's a point system. So I'm actually going through the Impact Assessment right now. I am going through that certification for Purpose Financial to get that certification. So it is a point structure. So as you go through the impact assessment and you answer the questions about your, you know, policies, procedures, your environment, do you measure how much energy you use, how much water you use, employee wellness programs and policies and programs around that sort of stuff, community engagement and customer engagement, right? So you answer these questions mm-hmm. in these four areas and you are ascribed a point value. And it takes an 80 to actually certify and become a certified B Corp, right? Mm-hmm. It's on a 200-point scale.
Okay.
So, oddly enough, 80 points is very difficult to get to. Mm-hmm. This is not easy. Let me just be the first to tell you that this is not a quick fix to your profit dips, okay? This is a change in the way that you fundamentally view and conduct business. So, it's tough. I took the impact assessment my first time through, mm-hmm. and I got a 50.
Okay.
And I have now actually enlisted the services of a friend of mine who is a consultant. She consults businesses on going through and becoming a certified B Corp.
Okay.
So she helps them with understanding really what they are doing right now that may not have thought about, right, that really does apply and have point value to the certification. To help me dig into what am I doing in my business,
mm-hmm.
how can I do it differently to maximize the impact of my business.
Mm-hmm.
That's my ultimate desire, right, is mm-hmm. to increase the impact of my business, to change the way that people engage with it.
Minimizing your impact on the planet.
Also a part of that, right? Living in sort of a contributory way, not just an extract, you know. Mm-hmm. So that B Impact assessment, I'll tell you this. It's free. Doesn't cost you anything.
Where do we get to do that if we want to check out what our business is like?
BeImpactAssessment.com.
Oh, okay.
Google it.
Cool.
It's awesome.
Well, this is all really good information, and I'm glad you are here today with us to talk about it.
Happy to be. Thank you for having me.
We've been talking with Brandon Trammell. He has been talking about conscious business and conscious leadership, and has been asked by the local Chamber of Commerce to head the new committee called the Conscious Business Committee mm-hmm. of the Chamber. So thank you for being here. Yeah.
Thank you for having
me. Yeah, you've got to come back and let us know down the road how
Happy
it's
to.
Going.
Happy to. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I thank you guys for holding space for this conversation to happen. I appreciate that.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah,
this was very interesting.
So do we have any other announcements that we need to make? We have a few minutes here to...
Well, we were talking about 4th of July before. There is the annual fireworks. You don't have to buy your own fireworks and screw around with that. You can just go to the fairgrounds. That's a big day. Everyone can have watching the big city firework display.
Right.
And people can actually use the East Siders, use the Lynch Creek Trail.
Yep.
Just go ahead, you know, and go up the Lynch Creek Trail.
Yeah.
And you can walk right over to the, I always call it the Target Shopping
sure.
Center, because a lot of people... sit in that center and watch the fireworks. It's a lot safer.
Right.
Now
the
than
gate,
driving.
The gates mm-hmm. over there open at 5:00, and there is this is also going to be a benefit for the Petaluma Music Festival. So if you go to the
that's cool.
Yeah, if you go to the fairgrounds, they open at 5:00. Admission is free. Live music from the Highway Poets and
admission's free.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I think it's always been free.
One year I thought they charged, but maybe I'm mistaken.
Well, it might have been a boo-boo, and they didn't do it again.
Yeah.
That's great.
Huh.
So how are they raising funds, then? Just for the concessions and everything?
Beer for sale.
Oh, yes. Beer for sale. Yes.
So who's going to be
You can't say
beer?
The word fairground.
Just think how much money they could make for the music schools if they had
after last week's
for sale.
After last week's show, Cindy and I went down to the fair, and oh, my God, I can't believe that. That we ate.
Oh, I know.
And we were bad, and then we
had to take Prilosec.
And we also had two beers
in
the middle of the day.
What's wrong with that?
Well, you don't drink during the middle of the day.
It can make you sleepy sometimes.
Yeah, you get too sleepy, but it was really fun. We had
I'm
great
a professional
time.
Day drinker.
I didn't even know that.
Yes.
I'm tired. I can do that.
I was at the doctor yesterday, and one of the questions was, do you start drinking first thing in the morning? Oh, that's an interesting new... new
How
question.
Do you define morning?
Well, that's true. I like
I'm
that.
Kidding.
That's good.
I'm not really a beer drinker. I'm gluten-free, so that doesn't really work.
But we had a good time.
Do they have gluten-free beer?
No.
No.
No. But we got to see, you know, Jim Smith, who was serving beer, and other locals.
Yeah.
And it's always fun to see the locals at the Lions Club. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Who does the beer booth?
Yeah. No.
And Jim Smith.
Was it Lions or was it Kiwanis?
I think it's Kiwanis. But yeah. Jim is a member of Kiwanis, but he also is the owner of the mortuary in town. And he's just a great guy. Been here forever. And it's always good to, you know, run into people that you haven't seen. We went and saw the sheep. And then I ran into a friend of mine who's, well, the way they were judging. And I ran into a friend of mine whose granddaughter had sheep that she was showing. And so it was fun. Just had to watch where you step.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of all the animals at the fair.
Well,
you don't like animals?
I like the animals. I like them a lot, which is...
You want them released.
I don't like seeing them in a big bathing booth and then being blow-dried afterwards. And
no.
Well, I blow-dried
like Coco. They belong out in a pasture.
There was an ugliest dog.
We didn't stay for that, but we sat down at that booth. We sat down and had our beer.
We saw all the entrance.
Yeah. And, of course, there was a film made about it by our own Don Lewis, right?
Oh.
It was the Worst of Show.
Oh.
Remember that?
Oh, that's Don.
Yeah. He did that movie. I actually never saw it. I'll have to go see it.
We're going to have to see it now since we've heard about it.
Anyway, things Petaluma's known for.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you're going to insist on purchasing the so-called safe and sane fireworks, please be safe with them. Find a nice place to set them off that's not going to set my house on fire.
Yeah.
And be careful. Have the hose out, bucket of water, do all the right things.
You can avoid the ones that make noise.
Yeah. Stay away from the illegal stuff. That's wrong.
Or just go to the fairgrounds.
Yeah,
have
go to
fun.
The fairgrounds.
Yeah. And people, the great thing about the fairgrounds is people from the east and west side can actually walk there.
Yep.
And so maybe we can eliminate a lot of the traffic and cars.
Yes, because leaving is always a pain.
Right,
know,
and then, you know, just make sure you bring flashlights with you and so you're safe, feel safe back on the trail and go with a group of people.
Yeah.
I hear the music.
I guess we're done, huh?
Don't you love it that I have control of the soundboard?
I want to say is doing fabulous at Stanford.
All right.
Yes.
All right. And you know the website, InsidePetaluma.com. That's where to go to learn more about us and hear our other shows, our archives.
Including this one.
Our Facebook page. What is it? KPCA Inside Petaluma.
All that stuff is linked from InsidePetaluma.com.
You got to go like us. There's everything to like about us.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. Thank you again, Brandon. And we'll have you back soon.
Thank you.
And everybody have a good week.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.